And it's wonderful to see everybody out this morning. Always a wonderful encouragement to be able to be here to study God's Word and to uplift one another. Hope that we've all been edified so far, all have been encouraged and uplifted as we've gone through our service and singing songs and remembering the sacrifice of our Lord and Savior. And at this time, I ask that you open up your Bibles to follow along as we go through a lesson to see what the Word of God has to say, to seek and make sure that we are applying His Word correctly in our lives. And again, it's just always an honor to be able to present the Word of God. What I want to talk about this morning, and a point that I know is different sermons, different styles, different points that we've made with all this going on, and how easy it is to be discouraged, dealing with discouragement, and how to react to certain things. Another way of looking at it, and the point of looking at it from the angle of the week. And it's not just during the pandemic that we have weak brethren, or that we ourselves might be going through a time of weakness, a time of struggling. And we need reminder, we need to be reminded that it is something that we face, that there is a way of overcoming it, and that we have to be mindful of our brothers and sisters in Christ who may be going through it. So that is what we're going to talk about this morning. And again, I want to ask and encourage that you open up your Bibles to go through the lesson with me as we see what it has to say this morning. First thing I want to start off with is asking that question of who is weak. Of course, as we talk about the point of being weak, someone, if we're talking about physical weakness and to that point of, you're having a hard time getting up out of bed. You're having a hard time walking because your ankles or your legs are weak. They're losing the muscle that they need to continue to go forward. Or if your bones are fragile, that they're so weak that if something small might break it or a small twist. And, of course, we're talking about being weak here, opening up the Bible, to open up the Scriptures. We're talking about being spiritually weak. Those who are at that point, a verge of giving in to temptation, or has come upon a snare, a trap of Satan, and unsure of how to escape it, unsure how to go forward and to go around it, to not fall into the snare that Satan has set forward. And so if you open your Bible, start with me in Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3, up during my during the first slide that I had up there with just the title, I had Titus 3 verses 1 through about verse 7 or 8. And so we'll go ahead and start in verse 1. Titus 3 in verse 1, it says, "Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing in all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But when the kindness and the love of God, our Savior toward man, appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to the mercy, His mercy, He saved us through the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, that having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." And so as we look at what it brings out here, it starts off telling us how we once ourselves were caught up in being weak and getting into temptation and falling and being deceived and falling to various lusts of this world. We've been redeemed. And as we ask that question of who is weak, one point to bring out as we're considering that is that we all have been weak at one point or another, that we've all struggled with our faith or struggled to know the truth or have given in to temptation. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 42, Luke chapter 6 and verse 42, here it says, "Or how can you say to your brother, 'Brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye,'
when you yourselves do not see the plank that is in your own eye? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck in your brother's eye. So the question I asked there, who's the weaker brother in here? The one with the speck in their eye, the one with the plank in their eye? Point is, both have somewhat of weakness. One might have a stronger or bigger or something or more weaknesses than the other, but both are struggling with something. Both have something that need to be strengthened. Both have something that needs to be removed. So when we sit here and we consider who might be a weak brother and understand that we all struggle with weakness. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 9. In Romans chapter 3, you read along with me in verse 9, it says, "What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin." Again, as they were teaching during the first century of the church, that they had to deal with the Jews and the Gentiles, and the Jews struggling to accept the Gentiles, and they're getting rid of the customs, and the Gentiles will say, no, they rejected their own Savior, and they're going back and forth of who is better, who has, they both sin. All have sinned, as you read there in verse 23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned and fall short. You know, that the scriptures say we all have sinned. In Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 22. Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 22. Here it reads, it says, "But the scriptures has confined all under sin, that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe." All are confined under sin. We open up our Bibles and we search the scriptures and we see what it has to say. And if you were to read and study the entire thing, you are going to find things in there that you have messed up. I will read it and I will study and see where I have fallen short. Where I need to be stepping up, where I need to find where there's strength, where we need to work on these things so that we can grow in the grace of knowledge. We'll look at a few examples in the Word of God of those who got caught up in weakness. Not that we typically look at them into that point of view that they are the weak people of the Word of God, but they had given at one point in their life at least into weakness. In Genesis chapter 9, verses 21 and 22, we read about Noah after the flood, after he has left the ark and has been saved by the grace of God. He gives in to drunkenness. Genesis 9, verse 21 says, "Then he drank of the wine and was drunk and became uncovered in his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers outside." So here we read and see that Noah, one of eight people who found grace, who was saved in the entire world at that time. Shortly after being saved and getting out of the ark, with everything that had been taking place, again, though he was being saved, there's a lot to take in. As you sit there and think about it, a lot to know to take in, knowing that everyone else in the world is dead, has died. Everyone else he knew has died. And now he has to start anew in a new place, wherever. And so when we look at this, the temptation that was there right off the bat. A man who had found grace in the sight of God ends up giving into drunkenness. In Numbers chapter 20, and in verse 7, we've recently talked about this as we went into and talking about the beginning of the study in Joshua of why Moses was unable to enter into the land of Canaan. And here's the reason right here. Numbers 20, starting in verse 7, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water from them for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rock from before the Lord as he had commanded me. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear you now, brothers, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" And Moses lifted his hand, struck the rock twice with his rod. And the water came out abundantly in the congregation, and their animals drank. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given you." Again, Moses, someone who had a relationship with our God like no one else, who spoke to the Lord so much and was able to just get a small glimpse of the glory of God as he parted, as he was leaving on the mountain, and he covered Moses' eyes and removed it at the very, very end. Moses would have that relationship. Give it in. Go forward and read in Judges chapter 16 and talk about Samson, a man who was physically mighty, strong, blessed by our God, chosen from birth to go forth and to be a thorn to the Philistines, to go forth and destroy the Philistines. We see he gives in to a weakness. He gives in to temptation that was laying at the door. That time and again, as Delilah asked and asked and tried to find out where his strength comes from. He overcame it once, twice, and she kept on going, and he gave in. He gave in to that weakness. He was bound, and his head was shaved. He was blind. He gave in to weakness. We go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, and again, David, what we read and what we quote about David, a man after God's own heart. That's what we say about David. We talk about David, we go to David, and we said he faced a giant, a champion from his youth. He defeated Goliath. He prepared everything for his son to build the temple of God. When you go to 2 Samuel 11, we see David give in to the struggle, give in to the weakness at this point. He goes up to the top of the king's place, and he looks out and he sees someone bathing, and he asks who she is, finds out who she is, and brings her over and commits adultery. Not only that, but after finding out that she is pregnant, he goes forth and brings her husband home and tries to make a lie out of it, tries to make it where it looks like it's his child. And that doesn't work. He sends him to the front of the line. Again, people that we often use as people that we look up to, we can also use them as an example to remind us. And even if we feel like we are sometimes some of the strongest member, or we feel like we've been doing so good, we've been studying so much, take heed lest you fall. Be careful. Continue to pray. Continue to pray that you do not fall into temptation. Continue to study the Word of God, lest your faith start to down. And Peter, Apostle Peter in Mark chapter 14. Go ahead and turn to that. Mark chapter 14. Mark 14, and read along with me, verse 66. Mark 14, verse 66. It says, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the serving girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' And he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out of the porch, and there was a crow. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, "Surely, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and you, your speech shows it." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." The second time the rooster crowed, and Peter called to mind the word that Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." And when he thought about it, he wept. Even Peter, even the apostle Peter, who is so zealous, ready to do all for the Lord, one who's ready to step out of the boat and walk on the water, one who, when they came to take our Lord, was the one who drew his sword and cut off the ear of one of the servants, the one who's ready to go and do the work, has moments of weakness. Continue to study through the Word of God. Continue to study about the apostle Peter. We also know later on, after he has already went to the house of Cornelius, this one who's the first to baptize this whole household and brings the news to everybody else down the road as other Jews are gathering around, he decides, "Well, I'm going to sit with the Gentiles." He gives into that peer pressure. He gives into the weakness because he's worried about what everybody else is thinking, what everybody else is doing, and he doesn't sit with them. And Paul had to rebuke him to his face. He had moments of weakness. We all go through. We all need to prepare ourselves for it. We need to also be considering one another, asking whether or not maybe they're going through this, asking what we can do to help one another, what we can do to strengthen each other every day to continue to fight that good fight. One of the reasons we gather together every time we can, as we do on Sunday, as we do on Wednesday, is because we're considering one another. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Often I think we get focused, and I know it is a main part and the majority of it, we get focused on the Lord's Supper. We get focused on remembering that sacrifice. We get focused on serving God, and that's what we're doing. But read here these verses in Hebrews 10, that's not the only thing, the only reason God has told us to come together. As you read here, it says, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who has promised is faithful, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Why not forsake the assembly? Why not stay home and take another few hours of sleep? Why make sure you can come to services? Why come gather together in the middle of the week? Why come back at Sunday considering one another? In order to stir up love and good works, to help push one another to continue to fight that good fight, because we are supposed to have love for one another. John chapter 13, verse 34. John 13, verse 34, as it says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another." We have love for each other. That we have brotherly love for one another. We're ready to aid one another. That we're ready to encourage. And we're ready to be there for each other. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You read with me here in verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all." Again, guys, here it's telling us to stand our ground, but be there for everyone. At the last part, be patient with who? Be patient with all. But be here for each other. Be there for the weak. Be there for the faint-hearted. Yes, when people are cut off and they completely go off the deep end, and it's finally that time to draw the line as a congregation where we have to let them know that, look, if you're not going to repent of your sins, that we have to follow church discipline as we see according to the Word of God. We're to be patient. We're to show love. We're to be there and strengthen each other. In Romans chapter 15, Romans 15, starting in verse 1. Romans 15, verse 1 says, we then, who are strong, ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproaches of those who are reproached, you fell on me. That we bear the weakness of the weak, that we go and let them lean on us. We go and help one another. Go back to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14, and read verses 1 through 3 there. It says, receive one who is weak in the faith, but not to dispute over doubtful things. Not to quarrel with them. Receive one who is weak to help them, to strengthen them. Verse 2 says, for one believes, he may eat all things, but he who is weak eats only vegetables. Let not him who eats despise him who does not eat. Let not him who does not eat judge him who eats, for God has received. And when we have someone over, we don't just do these things so that we can sit there and start, well, you need to toughen up, and you need to do this, and this should be there to edify, to build them up, to encourage them, to help them grow. But if all we're doing is disputing, and we're pushing them down, we've got to be careful on how we approach one another. We need to be ready to encourage each other. We cannot become the stumbling block of our brothers and sisters in Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 8, 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, but food does not commend us to God. For neither if we eat are we better, nor if we do not eat, we are worse. But beware lest somehow this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those who are weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating of idols in the temple, will not the conscience of him who is weak be emboldened to eat those things offered to idols? As you read here, one who is comfortable with it, he's okay with it, it does not bother his conscience, he's understood that maybe he's read about what Peter has already went through with the visions, God telling him to go ahead and forth and eat whatever he desires, because God made all things clean, and so he's no longer worried about this. Says, if your brother is still struggling with it, you don't have to go throw it in his face. Be there for one another. Part of that means we're ready and we're willing to go to one another. Putting pride aside and willing to humble ourselves and actually tell our brothers and sisters in Christ when we are struggling. James chapter 5, start in verse 13 with me. James 5, verse 13 says this, is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing songs. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails. As it doesn't say if you're drowning, you're completely caught, someone saw you doing these sins out in the world, then you need to come forward and admit that you've done wrong and ask for forgiveness. What it says. It says if you are suffering, if you are sick, you need help. Call on your brethren. Call on the elders. Let them pray for you. It says confess your trespasses. It doesn't say if you want to, if you think you really need. It says confess. telling us to do it. How often do we do that? How often do we go to brothers and sisters in Christ? Do we have that much confidence in our brothers and sisters in Christ that we truly rely on? When we're struggling, when we are weak, and we're willing, you don't have to come to this front. You can write a letter, you can give a phone call, you send out an email, you can call them the brethren that you trust and you know, or do we always keep it inside to ourselves? We're supposed to be here for one another. Remembering that we can gain strength, we don't have to continue to live in weakness. Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 29. Isaiah chapter 40, and verse 29, turn along with me there. Isaiah 40, and verse 29 says, He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, He increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Wonderful thoughts. Eventually we all grow old. Eventually we all go through the struggles and weakness as it brings out here. But those who are in the Lord will be renewed. In Psalm 18, the 18th Psalm. Turn along with me there in verse 29. Psalm 18, verse 29. The reads here says, For by you I can run against a troop. By my God I can leap over a wall. As for God, His way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in Him. Who is God except the Lord? And who is a rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and sets me on my high places. He teaches my hand to make war so that my arms can bend a bow of bronze. God is there to strengthen us. God is there to aid us. We can overcome all things. We can learn to be content in this world. Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ. We strengthen. We just have to put our trust in Him. We have to be willing to go to Him in prayer and seek His guidance. We have to be willing to lean on Him at all times. Learn to be there for one another as a family in Christ. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 tells us, No temptation has overtaken you. Such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with temptation will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Whatever it is that you have been going through, whatever it is that is causing you to think twice about whether or not you're going to have a home in heaven, or how strong of faith you have, you can overcome. God has provided the way of escape. All you have to do is seek it out. Ask Him, pray for it, open up your Bibles and study it. You'll find a way to overcome temptation. Get out of that temptation. If you're here this morning, you have not obeyed the gospel. That is the temptation that is at your door right now. That is the snare that Satan has set in front of you. That you need to overcome. We're going to sing an invitation song. The brethren here are going to sing out to encourage you to obey the gospel, to help you, to aid you. Let us assist you in having God wash your sins away. If you're here and you've been struggling, you've obeyed the gospel, you need the prayers of congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, we let it be known as we stand and sing.